Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, September the 25th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we'll be reading in the Big Book on page 156. The first paragraph begins with, "One morning he took the bull by the horns," and we're reading through that one paragraph, ending with, "particularly to a person in his line of business." And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Laura W., the 12 Traditions, Deb E., and the readers of the text are Juanice N., Betsy H., and Robin P. The share ID for Sunday, September 24th, that was yesterday's Sunday special edition, is 20,671. That's 20671. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, September 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, meeting is 20,672. That's 20672. Newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and the announcements person is Shelley E. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Laura W. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm Laura W. from Ohio. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Laura W., compulsive overeater from Ohio.
Thank you very much, Laura W., for your service this month. Up next is, I will now ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Mo. Debbie in Montana, these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Well, thank you for your service, Debbie, this month. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 156, the first paragraph, and it begins with one morning he took the bull by the horns, and it ends with particularly to a person in his line of business. And I will now ask Juanis N. to get us started. Good morning, Juanis.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanis N., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. And here is the paragraph. One morning, he took the bull by the horns and set out to tell those he feared what his trouble had been. He found himself surprisingly well received and learned that many knew of his drinking. Stepping into his car, he made the rounds of people he had hurt. He trembled as he went about, for this might mean ruin, particularly to a person in his line of business. Okay, yes. I have some experience with this. I know how he felt. And that's one of the things I just love about the Big Book is that, you know, it seems like every time I go through something, I always think I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's really got this, you know, this bad. But there's always somebody in the Big Book that had it too. I had to make an amends and did reluctantly. I didn't want to do it. I really didn't want to do it. And then I could tell that my food and stuff was starting to, you know, I would see stuff in the pantry that I wasn't seeing, and I would see stuff in the refrigerator that I hadn't been noticing, and I was like, what's going on? It's like, well, you have this amends to make to your employer that you've been lying on your timesheet. You've been working hours on one day, putting them on the next day, And I was absolutely terrified. I didn't know what they were going to do. But I knew, too, that if I didn't get honest about it, that I wasn't going to stop doing it. Because I work at home and, you know, and I'm the boss here. I don't have a manager or anything like that. So I had to go to my board and tell them. And it's so funny because the treasurer called me one day about the audit or something. And he kept saying to me, is there anything else that I need to know about? Is there anything else you want to tell me about? And I got this in my gut, and I'm like, and then finally I said, okay, God, okay, I surrender. And I told him about it. And basically he didn't say anything about that. He just said, he just helped me with getting my schedule in order so this kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore. And I was just so blessed and so free and just so at peace and felt so close to God. Because I know that only God gave me the courage to do that. That kind of courage doesn't come from Juanese. That courage only comes from the God of my understanding. And then I didn't have, and of course, the food. I'm not seeing things in the refrigerator anymore. everything just straightened out. I'm just so grateful for this way of living, because sometimes it can be hard and scary. But if I put my hope and my trust in God and God, let God open the door for me to make those hard, hard amends, and I walk through that door, everything works out just fine when I surrender to his will. So that's all for me, and I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Juanice, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page 156, the first paragraph, starting with one morning and ending with in his line of business.
Sherry M.
I heard
Bonnie
Ann
B. from Minnesota.
Wait a minute, my pen went cuckoo. Ann M. and Sherry. Sherry, I didn't get your last initial.
M. Thank you.
M. Okay, thanks. And then who else?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. Anybody else? Got room for some more?
Jordan L.
Jordan, good morning. And now? Now's your time to step in there. Otherwise, I'll go with these four. I have Ann M., Sherry M., Bonnie B.,
Deborah,
and Jordan
you.
L. Who was
Deborah
that?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Gotcha.
Hi.
Okay, we'll go with that lineup. So Ann M., you want to get us started, followed by Sherry M. Good morning, Ann.
Yes, thank you so much, Mo. My name is Ann A. in New York,
oops,
and thank you.
Sorry.
And please, you're very funny. And Juanice, thank you very much for your share. I can't wait to hear the others. I'm a leftover from the early morning, but I was compelled to jump on this beautiful meeting too. You know, step nine is the rehabilitation step. It's to make me it's an opportunity for me to be honest so that I can continue to receive the graces that my higher power has given me. And so what would that mean for me? Well, this week my pension comes in and I can reimburse my old school for stealing books 20 years ago. And but the other thing, that was like my largest amends, that money owed, is these milk crates that I stole as a teacher. I had three, I returned two, and my third one, I was taught, it's just too far. It doesn't make sense to go to 5 hours away to return that cart. That one doesn't teach me anything because I love to ride in a car and I love to gab. But what will teach me, what will rehabilitate me is to give back self-sacrifice for others. And so today I'm going to call a soup kitchen and I'm going to donate the amount of money it would have cost me for that trip about, well, not donate the money, but to work it off, work off the $300 that trip would have cost me for that milk crate that probably cost $2 20 years ago. And why am I doing that? Because I want to stay. I'm just so grateful for the miracle of keeping this weight off, of living a new life, of having being rearranged that God wired me to just be useful. I know what my purpose is now, is to just to give back, and the love that I read in these rooms, I just love to give it back. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Anne A. from New York. All right, up next is Sherry M., followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, good morning, Mo. This is Sherry M., gratefully recovered in Wyoming. And thank you so much, Juanice, for getting us started. And this is just reminding me, you know, that morning, you know, he took the bull by the horns. But, you know, it's that moment. It's the moment when we just say, okay, I'm all in, I'm going to do this. But I'm certain that before that moment, he was probably like me, as it says, you know, living in fear about whatever the thing was. You know, I remember I was in fear about giving up the food. I was in fear about doing my fifth step. I was in fear about doing my amends. But yet we pray for the willingness. So maybe he was praying and praying and praying, and then his prayers were answered. And then he woke up and then he just took it by the horns. And what I love is the promises of it. You know, again, the results that I think are going to happen are never what happens. I always come up with really horror stories and the worst case scenarios, and everything leads to death, you know. And he's telling us that he did this and it was like well received. And then he could look people in the eye. Oh my God, it makes me cry, because then he remained sober until his last breath, which is the whole point of why we have to do this. And so there's nothing to be afraid, but he says he's trembling. So that's really good news. This is letting me know that I am going to tremble. You know, I'm going to walk through it though, because when I put God first and hold God's hand and my sponsor's hand and we walk through whatever needs to be done, I agreed in the beginning that I would go to any lengths for, release of my compulsive overeating. And I said to my sponsor, I'll do anything. And so there's no reason to stop here, because this is when all the promises come true, right? I mean, the 9-step promises and then the 10-step promises are the most important promises, because that's what leads us to be free from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. It's as if the problem that I lived my whole life thinking about food and body and this and that, it's removed. And now I have peace in my mind. As long as I continue to do this work, which means I need to continue to take the bull. Anytime something hard comes up, I need to ask God for the strength and the courage to walk me through it, get help from my sponsor and my fellows, and then together we recover. Together we hold each other's hands and we face the things that we think we cannot face, and the results are something we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine it, because I'm not God, right? So anyways, I'm going to pass there. Thank you so much for letting me share, and have a beautiful day.
And thank you, Sherry. I'm from New York. Wyoming. Bonnie B., followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Bonnie B.
Good morning, my friend. Hi, Mo, and everyone else. Bonnie B., recovered gratefully by the gift of God in Florida, permanently in Florida now as of last week. I don't even know where to start when it comes to amends. I was terrified of the majority of them. There was a handful I thought, yeah, I can do this on the front end. There were some that I thought, I just don't know if I'll ever be able to do it. And I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, you know, we have those categories. I'll do it now, maybe I'll do it, and I'm not sure if I'll ever do it. And, you know, listening to Joe and Charlie, and then, you know, getting some coaching from some counselors or from sponsors, the idea is to not focus on all, just do what you can do. And as I did them, each category moved up closer. And the one that I had said when I came into program, if anyone asked me to do amends regarding this situation, I would leave the program. It was regarding the assault of one of our daughters who then attempted suicide twice. God changed my glasses. I did the last three amends regarding that situation 10 years to the date after it happened, and God orchestrated that meeting. I don't even know, you know, it's hard to wrap your head around what happens on the other side. It's nothing but life. It's setting me free and it's setting everyone else free. The greatest gift I've ever been given is the gift of being able to say, you know what, I deeply regret that this is how I showed up. This is not God's ideal and it is not my ideal, and I do want to show up differently in the future. Talk about freedom. I did have one amends that I thought was going to go great, and it didn't go great, and I did a resentment on it, and my sponsor, or the gal I gave the resentment away to, she was kind enough to say, isn't it interesting that you went into an amends with an expectation? So even that was eye-opening to me. I have to abandon everything other than what's on my side of the street, and if God drops something into my heart that I know that I need to make right, I just need to do it and trust God for the rest. One closing thoughts. We moved out of the state, and one of my daughters met with my sister yesterday, and she said, you know, Pam just adores you and the relationship you have with her. I have that relationship because I did amends to my sister 3 years ago, and I cried and cried and cried because she was a casualty. I image management was my life, and so everything has been restored there too, and the gift, it just goes on and on. And so I don't know. I love it. If anyone wants to hear some of the other stories, they're all miraculous and they're all distinctly different. But God shows up if we give this to him and lay it out. And with that, I'll pass. And thanks again. Blessings, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Bonnie B. from now Florida. Jordan L., you're up next, followed by Deborah G., and then I'll take another lineup of names on this paragraph. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. and thank you for all of the beautiful shares and Swanies for getting us started. he went to those that he feared. You know, it's funny, right? Because I, that fear, you know, like my experience has been that it really is the evil corroding thread that it talks about in the four step. Like it really gets in there and it weaves itself into the tapestry. When you start pulling at it, or when circumstances start pulling at it, it really will like tear the whole thing apart, you know? The previous paragraph, it talks about mastery over problems, right? And Bill was someone who had a lot of resentment and found a lot of release mastering those resentments. Bob was different. He was almost like the opposite, you know? Like Bill was kind of like the bad actor, the mean ego actor that it talks about in step three. Bob was the opposite. He was kind of the kind, generous one, you know? Who he wasn't the star of the show at all in any way, shape or form. But he couldn't stay sober either, you know? And it's interesting that it talks about fear as his primary problem. And I gotta say, the fear thing is probably the one that has been tougher for me in my recovery, as far as finding some mastery over it, with God's help. But when you do, like, holy smokes. Like, when that becomes a reality where you realize that, like, you're in partnership with with your creator, or I'm in partnership with my creator, and this creator wants me to live free of fear, completely and totally, you know, and really, really live differently in this world, with some purpose and some courage, even over just like really basic stuff, you know, like I'm not talking about anything crazy here. Just like living my life, owning my life, engaging with my life, without fear. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. And before I take Deborah G., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 156. The first paragraph, it begins with, "One morning, he took the bull by the horns," and it ends with, "particularly to a person in his line of business." And after Deborah G., I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Good to hear your voice, and thank you so much for your service this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. I was reminiscing about some of the behaviors that were coming up for me in the days when I was in the food. And, you know, I was also thinking about when I went through the steps, by the time I got to step 9, I had a deeper connection with that power, a deeper relationship, and felt this freedom was coming from doing the other work. And then also, other than doing the steps, I was able to go out and make amends. You know, I remember one woman, she used to make these cakes at this meeting I used to go to, and she had to hide the cakes from me because I was in there eating them before it was time to serve them. So I had to go to her and tell her, you know, that I was wrong to do that. You know, she put all that time and effort, and plus you shouldn't have to be doing that, you know, and there was a freedom with that. And there today, I was talking to somebody at an AA meeting, and I was saying that I couldn't have one of those with some kind of pastry or something, because if I have one, I'll eat that whole thing, and then I'll go looking for more. You know, I just be honest and truthful, because I never know who I'm going to be talking with. I might be, excuse me, talking with another compulsive overeater, and I might be of service. And so that's what I'm learning, is because of that connectedness, that deep relationship, you know, with that power, with that divine loving presence, you just never know how I can be used. So doing that other work and continuing to be open, and sharing myself, the truth of myself, I just want to be of service. So that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. from Arizona. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph on page 156, first paragraph?
Diane B.
Diane B.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie. From Nevada. Diane's from New York. Who else? Press star 1 to unmute if you'd like to share. Love to hear from you.
Tricia D.
Nancy
Georgia.
C.
Tricia, and who was after Tricia?
Nancy C.
Nancy C., thank you. I think I could take one more.
Cheryl S.
Okay, I got you, Cheryl.
Thank you.
We'll stop there. Okay, I have Diane B., Joan Marie M., Tricia D., Nancy C., and Cheryl S. I hope I have all the right last initials. All right, we'll start off with Diane B. Everybody else, please mute your phone. Thank you.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for your service for keeping this meeting alive and well. This is such a great topic for me. I actually had to do an amends on Saturday. I had made a huge mistake, one of inaction rather than inaction, something I should have done and didn't. And, you know, I spoke with my sponsor about it. I was nervous, but I was praying, so I knew that higher power was going to be with me. I wrote out everything that I wanted to say as per my sponsor's directions. We reviewed it. And then I texted my friend and I said, I'd like to talk with you at your convenience. And I was thinking I would do this on the phone. And she texts back, okay, let's meet for coffee, whatever. And I'm like, gee, God, you're directing this one. So I went, we met, we started talking. This is someone who's been angry with me since May. And she is what I call a civilian. She's not in program. And she started talking to me about the amends process from program. And in my head, I'm thinking, what? But I didn't say anything. I'm like, okay, God, grant me serenity. And we continued. And I just very calmly and nicely explained to her that making amends is not just making an apology. You're making amends is making a change to your behavior. We amend the Constitution. We don't apologize to it. We change something in it. I said, and that's what the amends process is about, and that's what I'm trying to do here. And so we went on from there, and it went really well. I told her I missed her because we haven't been talking or seeing each other, and she said that she missed me too. And then I asked her if I could give her a hug before we parted. And she's like, yes, I want a hug too. It just was such a beautiful process. And I knew that had I gotten upset about her telling me about amends, because she's not in the rooms, like that would have totally changed the tone. But all I did was in my head just said, God, grant me serenity. We are all sick and suffering. And it just turned out to have a really nice ending to it. And I believe that we are working our way towards repairing this friendship. It's been a very long friendship of like almost 25 years. And like I said, I made an error in inaction. So anyway, felt good to do this. And I'm so glad we're reading about this and talking about it and learning from the people who go before us. With that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Diane. Up next is Joan Marie M., followed by Tricia D. Good morning, Joan Marie from Nevada.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for all your shares. Am I being heard?
Yes, you are.
Oh,
a little bit
great.
Louder if you could.
Okay. Yes, I was reminiscing as I was listening. I listened to some of the early morning ones and at the early meeting, and it brought me back to the first one and to the last one, and I don't remember in between too much, and even how many. But the first one was I was so desperate, and I went for the hardest. I took the bull by the horns, and that's what I did. And the first one was to an ex-husband, and he wasn't very kind. But in my heart, I knew that it was not about him. It was not how he reacted or accepted. It was about clearing my side of the street, and not what he did or didn't do. And then the amends was I did give him back the wedding ring that he gave me. And the world would say, you know, it's yours to keep. Because you married. But no, I knew my motives, and I knew that God wanted me to do this, so I did that. The very last one was to a school that I worked at, and it had to do with stealing candy. And so I went to the secretary's office, and I said, I have to make this amends. And she said, well, I can put it down as a donation. I said, no, no, it is an amends. I have to make the amends. And I told her why. She really didn't get it, and it didn't matter. She made very light of it, that, oh, the people do this all the time. I have candy in here. But I kept on insisting that this was an amends, and I needed to make it to get right with my God. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, John Marie. Thank you very much for your share. Tricia D, followed by Nancy C. Good morning, Tricia. Tricia.
T-R-I-S-H-A, and then D is in darling. Whatever.
Okay.
I'm Tricia D from the state of Georgia, outside Atlanta. And, excuse me, I'm trying to, someone has called me while I'm trying to talk to you. I'm sorry. Okay. I love this paragraph because it brought back so many memories of when I did my step 9, making amends. And the one that I really stood out to me and still does to this day is to my sister-in-law for just, you know, I had such a, you know, she's family and I love her. But every time she knew how to push my buttons and, you know, there's an expression called if you spot it, you got it. And I kept thinking what it is about her that drives me crazy. And it's like, you know, just and it, when I started really dwelling on that, I was thinking, gee, she seeks so much validation. She seeks to be noticed. And that was the exact same thing that I had been doing, that I deal with one of my many character defects. And so I was composing my letter to her during COVID and we, you know, couldn't go anywhere. And so I wrote a letter and I had it always checked with my sponsor before I, you know, went to talk to her about it because she had such a love. She was a convert to a Christian faith that I grew up in. And I was burned so badly by that faith and just had such a resentment. And I saw her as that instrument of, you know, I resent you because you represent this religious institution that hurt me so bad growing up. And so when I looked at it that way, I was able to, you know, really just go see my part. And so I found these 5 steps on how to make an amends letter, and it focuses on these areas. Number one, you start with cleaning up some area of your life. So you're sharing this something you want to clean up in your life. Number two, you list positive qualities about them. So I'm starting off into it's all about me, and I'm listing positive qualities about her. And then number three, I list specific ways I have harmed her without mentioning anything specific that they did to me. So I specifically say that. And then four, where was I dishonest, selfish, or controlling, or fearful? And then which was, you know, I could talk more about that. And then five, moving forward, I would like to, like, what would you want to change about myself? And so then last, was there anything else that I may have missed? And I can't tell you, just it just flowed so beautifully. I had to call her on the phone and tell her. And it has changed our relationship so much since I have made that amends. And now rather than see how she's different from me, I see how we're alike. And so when I see her at many family reunions, I can embrace her and see how much I love her all the more because she's so much like me and she has the same struggles I have. So I just, again, this came to me when I read that paragraph this morning about taking the bull by the horns. And I just really grateful for letting me share today in my past. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tricia. Tricia D. Mm-hmm. from Georgia. Up next is Nancy C., followed by Cheryl S. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. I'm Nancy C. from Seattle, Washington. And thanks very much to the speaker today. This is the first time I've shared. I've been coming to Vision for 9 months. So I'm just taking a little courage. I'm on the 9th step. However, I had to go back to the 8th step. And so taking the bull by the horns from this reading for me is that I traveled to Texas where my whole family lives and with the intention of making amends to 3 of my cousins. And one thing and another, I don't need to go into, it didn't work out timing-wise the situations, et cetera. And so I came back to Seattle and talked to my sponsor about it, and I just felt like this was really God's, it was a God thing. It wasn't that I was trying to avoid it. It was more these various things came up that I didn't have control over. So anyway, and so my sponsor suggested that I pray for these three people for 2 weeks, the way it talks about in Freedom from Bondage in the Big Book, for their prosperity, health, and happiness. And I hadn't been willing to do that before. I hadn't even considered it. I was just kind of going by some sort of rote formula for making my amends because it was time to do that. And boy, have I been cringing about doing that. And I realized, whoa, I wasn't ready in my heart to make amends to these people. That's what kind of God was telling me, like, you need to go back and do some more work so that you, and that's taking the bull by the horns, because I kind of cringe now. I'm doing this every morning when I think about some of them, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. I did it today. I'll keep doing this, and God's going to work on my heart around this and heal my resentment and heal my energy toward these people. So thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Nancy C. Glad you opened up and shared with us. Okay, before I take Cheryl S., I think we'll have time for maybe one or two more. We're on page 156. The first paragraph begins with, one morning he took the bull by the horns. And
Cheryl R.?
Particularly to a person in his business, in his line of business. So after Cheryl S., I'll take a few more. Good morning, Cheryl S.
Cheryl R.?
Oh, Cheryl R.
No, this is Cheryl S.
Pearl R.?
Wait, Pearl, wait. Cheryl S. is up to share. I'll take you next, okay? All right, Cheryl.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada. Cheryl S. as in Sam. And I was just thinking, we take the bull by the horns. And really, if this program had a motto, that would probably be it. We take the bull by the horns from the very beginning. And if we do that and we approach every single step that way, taking the bull by the horns, my experience is that this program goes very well and that recovery is what's waiting at the end of those 12 steps. And I also was thinking about the amends that I made to my dad. And my dad was a man of very few words. And I was a very, very troublesome teenager. And I realized as I went through the program and as I had children of my own and they got older, really the hell that I put my dad and my stepmom through. And so I wrote out my amends to my dad. And I read it to him. And when I was all done, he looked at me and he said, honey, you were a joy. And he meant it. And I will never forget the look on his face and what he said to me. And in that moment, I understood what grace meant. And when, you know, every day, if I get confused about when people say God's grace, I think about my dad and him saying, honey, you were a joy, and meaning it. And that is grace. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Cheryl S. Okay, Pearl R., you're up next, and we'll see if we have time after you. Go ahead, Pearl.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I can definitely relate to having to get to the place in my life where I had that kind of determination that, you know, even if I had to grab a bull by the horns, that was completely, you know, that's what my disease was. That's what first bite was for me, was the bull just bucking wild and crazy and insane and dangerous. And I had to get to the place in my life that this wasn't a game anymore. It was game over. And so I can so relate to having to, you know, finally humble myself. Finally, you know, you can't go any further than down on your face, you know. And it had to become like that for me to be able to get the recovery enough to not eat, you know, not my foods. I had to finally get to the place to where I had to give up on trying to do this battle on my own. And then I had to cry out to God and ask for help, because there was no way that on my own I could continue on fighting this bull in this chaos and this, you know, I lose all, once I take that bite, I lose all ability to have self-control over not my foods. I lose the ability. More from that point on, that bull takes the reins and runs and jumps. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Pearl R. We do have time for a two-minute share if somebody would like to take that.
Penny C.
Penny
C. Yes.
Okay, Penny. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're up.
Good morning, Bo. Good morning. Thank you so much. Penny C. I'm recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And every time we come by this paragraph, I have a concern. And that's that if someone were to be reading this book on their own or decided on their own to go out and do what Dr. Bob did, we don't know that he didn't talk to Bill W. or someone else first. But there's a danger. There's a danger inherent. If someone were just to, without checking in with a sponsor or another trusted person, just go out and make amends. And case in point was the first time I went through the steps in a closed 12-step group, I was going through a very difficult, very, you know, unfriendly divorce. And I decided, thank God I talked to my sponsor first, I was going to write a letter. And I was going to make amends for everything. And she warned me. She said, this says, the ninth step, unless it would injure them or others. She said, don't you see that this would injure you if you were to write this letter and it was read in court? She said, you know, she said, so she had me write a letter, read it to her, and destroy it. And I'm ever so thankful to her. So just like, I you know, I love Dr. Bob, but I do think there's something missing between the lines here. And so I'll end with this, you know, please, anyone who's going to go make amends, please check it out with your sponsor or another trusted person so that you're not going to be injuring them or yourself. And pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Penny C. That was a great way to end our sharing. And thank you, everybody, for your service and for sharing this morning. Great paragraph. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Betsy H. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. I'm Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.